The dating app fatigue is real. Mindless swiping, meaningless DMs, and an overwhelming amount of likes have made us feel more disconnected than ever. While most dating apps are all about pursuing someone else, there's one that's carved out a space for you to find yourself. Download Field. F-E-E-L-D.
On Field, an app where curious people come to connect, you have the breathing room to explore your own desires and go on a journey wherein the person you discover is yourself.
In fact, 62% of Field members evolve their sexuality, interests, and desires within their first year on the app.
You have the freedom to explore who you are and what you like in ways you haven't imagined.
As part of this community, you'll quickly find that people regularly practice honesty and openness. See any Field bio.
Download Field.
F-E-E-L-D.
On the App Store or Google Play. PK!
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play. Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
The following ad is sponsored by Pets Best Insurance Services. Your pet is your bestie. Your therapist, your preferred match. It's easy to love them, even when they sneak your snacks. It's easy to protect them, too, with pet insurance coverage from Pets Best. Because it's all fun and games until they chew on something they shouldn't. With perfect timing, Pets Best helps protect your furry friend and your budget from this imperfect world. Get up to 90% on eligible vet bills for less than a dollar a day. Find your perfect match at PetsBest.com. Pet insurance products offered and administered by Pets Best Insurance Services, LLC, or underwritten by American Pet Insurance Company or Independence American Insurance Company. For all terms, visit PetsBest.com/policy.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb from The Today Show.
Nobody does the holidays like today. From festive performances and great gift ideas to tips for the perfect holiday feast.
Join us every morning on NBC and make today your home for the holidays.
This is an iHeart Original.
Welcome to Frankenmuth, Michigan, the charming Bavarian-themed town in central Michigan where the Christmas spirit is alive 365 days a year. Frankenmuth is best known as the home of Bronner's Christmas Wonderland, a Midwest Christmas decoration mecca since 1945.
So we're actually the world's largest Christmas store. We have everything from trees to lights, ornaments, glass, anything you can probably think of, we have it.
That's Noah Johnson, the fresh-faced merchandising manager at Bronner's.
Wally Bronner, the originator of the store, opened it in 1945. So we have billboard signs all over the United States for visitors to come in. We have people actually from all over the world that also come in to visit every single year.
The busy season at Bronner's kicks in a few weeks before Thanksgiving. The Christmas Superstore welcomes as many as 25,000 customers a day.
We're kind of famous for our Christmas cookies. We got some really good sugar cookies that have been around since I was a kid coming here.
Noah's worked at Bronner's for 17 years. He started off stocking shelves when he was in ninth grade. Now he regularly flies to China to custom order Bronner's latest line of artificial Christmas trees. Bronner's sells 100 different varieties of artificial trees, from 3-foot minis to 16-foot behemoths.
Usually the higher end trees tend to look a lot more realistic, have a lot more lights on them, and are a lot fuller as well.
Pre-lit Christmas trees are all the rage. Gone are those hopelessly knotted strings of incandescent lights with one dead bulb that's impossible to find. The new artificial Christmas trees have built-in LEDs that are fully programmable. Noah says that some customers even keep their trees up all year long.
You can pretty much program the tree lights however you want them to be, but we have a lot of customers that come in that do a tree year-round and do themes. So they'll do a summer, spring, fall, Halloween, and then, of course, Christmas.
Artificial Christmas trees have come a long way since those silver metallic eyesores of the 1950s. Today's high-end artificial trees are so lifelike, they're almost impossible to distinguish from the real thing. Even Noah gets fooled sometimes. In 2024, 3/4 of all American households with a Christmas tree chose an artificial one. And it's easy to see the appeal. There are no annoying needles to sweep up, no dragging a dried-out tree carcass to the curb after the holidays. Just pack it up and reuse it year after year. Artificial Christmas trees are a multi-billion dollar global industry. But few people know the unlikely story of how it all started. The person who pioneered the modern artificial Christmas tree wasn't some Christmas-crazed inventor from a place like Frankenmuth. In fact, he'd never even celebrated Christmas. Meet Cy Spiegel, a Jewish kid from New York City with a remarkable, improbable Christmas story. Welcome to Very Special Episodes, an iHeart original podcast. I'm your host, Zarin Burnett, and this is An Artificial Christmas.
Welcome back to Very Special Episodes. My name is Jason English. Today's our first holiday episode. I don't know if podcasting as a medium is old enough to have established classic holiday episodes that people revisit year after year, the way they do with Christmas episodes of TV shows or holiday movies. Whether you decide this one is worth listening to in subsequent years or not, I think it's a good one, and especially if you're going to be seeing older relatives this holiday season. Here we go.
Lori Gwynn Shapiro is a journalist and documentary filmmaker who lives in New York City. One day in November 2019, Lori was walking around Manhattan enjoying her two favorite hobbies, drinking coffee and eavesdropping on other people's conversations.
I'm a terrible eavesdropper. All journalists are eavesdroppers.
In Central Park, Lori overheard an older gentleman talking about his military service. The sharply dressed man looked like he could be in his 90s. He reminded Lori of her own elderly father when he was in better health. Lori is Jewish and had a hunch that the old man was Jewish too. She couldn't help herself, so she butt into their conversation.
I'm like a Budinsky. And I said, are you possibly talking about World War II? Are you a veteran? And he said, I am. I was in the war. And I said, oh, wow. Were you involved with aviation? And he said, yes. I know a lot about anti-Semitism during World War II, and I've never heard of a Jewish pilot. What were you during the war? I thought he might be a mechanic. And he said, no, I was a pilot. I was just floored.
Lori's journalistic instincts kicked in. There was a story here. How often do you run into a Jewish World War II pilot in the middle of Central Park? So in classic Lori style, she convinced the old veteran to sit down with her for an interview. If only Lori knew just how wild this story was going to get.
So when I went, and he had a doorman apartment. As I said, I had no idea where he had gotten this money from. It was a beautiful apartment with a nice slice of Central Park in the view. And he just sat down talking to me. And I did what you do when you start a story. You start at the beginning. I said, who are you?
His name was Cy Spiegel, and he was 95 years old. Cy was born in 1924, the very first year of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and also the first year you could use a Kleenex. Cy grew up in Greenwich Village, an immigrant enclave of Jews, Germans, Italians, and more. Cy's father ran a hand laundry on West 43rd Street, frequented by Broadway stars and occasional gangster. After school, Cy worked at the laundry and picked up odd jobs at small machine shops in the neighborhood. Cy was always good with his hands. In the 1930s, Cy's parents read disturbing reports in the local Yiddish papers about Adolf Hitler's rise in Germany. They had no clue of the horrors that would soon be unleashed on European Jews, but they knew enough to worry. Cy was just 17 when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor and America entered World War II. He was a shy kid, small too, just 5'7", maybe 150 pounds. But the day Cy turned 18, he enlisted in the army. If America was going to war with Hitler, he wanted to be in the fight.
A lot of these men who were immigrants or the sons of immigrants wanted to prove how American they were. They wanted to prove their mettle, but they really wanted to prove to their friends and family and everybody else around them how American they were.
That's Kevin Fitzpatrick, an author and New York historian who was introduced to Cy through Lori.
One of the things that Germany underestimated in World War I and World War II, because remember, Germany sent the most immigrants to the United States in the 19th and early 20th century. They thought all those people were going to return to the motherland and later the fatherland to fight, and they didn't. They put on American uniforms because they're proud to be American now. And so that might have been in the back of his mind is, you know, I'm a Jewish American, but I'm American too, and I want to do this, and I want this. I don't want to miss out on this as well.
Cy enlisted at a crowded Army recruitment office. Then he was shipped off to Fort Dix in New Jersey for basic training. When the Army learned about Cy's machine shop experience, they assigned him to the Army Air Corps as an airplane mechanic. Cy didn't know a thing about planes, so the Army sent him to various mechanic schools, winding up at Roosevelt Field on Long Island. This was September 1943, almost 2 years after Pearl Harbor. Cy knew kids from the neighborhood who were already fighting in the Pacific or training to jump from planes over Europe, and here he was on Long Island, reading engine manuals.
So one of the things he told me is that he was frustrated with his role in the military. He just said to himself, I can't fight Hitler with a wrench. And you have to remember, for Jewish men, fighting Hitler became a personal mission.
One of the officers at the mechanic school told Cy that if he was really itching for action, he could apply to become a pilot. There was an Army Air Corps recruitment office right up the road at Mitchell Field. Cy had never dreamt of flying an airplane, and he'd certainly never heard of a Jewish pilot. But he had to get out of mechanic school. So he put on his uniform, stood tall, and marched into the Army Air Corps recruitment office like he belonged there. The place was deserted. Unlike the mob scene at the recruitment office in Times Square, there was only one other guy applying for pilot training, and he was wearing a thick pair of glasses. With his sharp uniform and perfect vision, Cy was a shoo-in. If the recruitment officer recognized Spiegel as a Jewish name, he didn't blink. He stamped the papers, shook Cy's hand, and shipped him off to California for pilot training. Cy didn't exactly take to the air like an eagle. As a trainee, they took Cy up as a passenger and put him through barrel rolls and loops. Cy puked every time. But he was a hard worker and definitely not a quitter. It wasn't long before Cy was the one putting trainees through barrel rolls and making them lose their lunch. Cy earned his wings and shipped off for New Mexico to train on the B-17, the iconic World War II bomber known as the Flying Fortress.
I mean, the B-17 is like the classic bomber. When you're building scale model kits as a kid, it's the B-17 Flying Fortress you want.
That's Kevin again. He gets a little excited when he talks about Cy's plane, the B-17.
So first, it's four engines. So you got to think about the sound of being inside something like that with four engines, two on either side of you. The nose, it's two levels. It's got this plexiglass canopy so you can see all around you. So it's like you're flying in a greenhouse. And it's not pressurized. So you're wearing, you know, sheepskin jackets, you know, wool-lined jackets and mittens because it's below zero and you got to do your job. And you're 19 years old. It's crazy to think about the youth that we sent into World War II and what they were doing with the technology of that era 80 years ago. It's just mind-blowing.
So here's Cy, this 19-year-old Jewish kid thousands of miles from home in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico. He's spending days in the cockpit of a 75-foot-long bomber. On weekends, the other flyboys go out to the local bars and brothels, but Cy was too shy and innocent for all that. Sort of. Apparently, there's also something irresistible about a man in uniform. When Lori interviewed Cy at his apartment, he brought out a picture of himself at 19 wearing his black leather bomber jacket and a white silk aviator scarf.
Then I saw pictures of him in his military outfits, and it was like, ooh, this is my World War II boyfriend. I mean, he was hot. We all want to have a pilot.
That's how shy and innocent Cy won the heart of Frankie Marie Smith, a stunning young beauty from Lovington, New Mexico. Frankie's father insisted they get married in an evangelical church. Afraid to tell his parents, Cy kept his shiksa wife a secret. He'd have plenty of time to explain everything when he got home from the war. For now, it was time for Lieutenant Spiegel, B-17 pilot, to say a tearful goodbye to his young bride and fly off to Oklahoma, where he would finally meet his crew, and then together fly on over to Europe to start dropping bombs on Hitler. Cy Spiegel was not, as Lori believed, the only Jewish bomber pilot in World War II. 150,000 Jewish people served in the Army Air Corps, or similar in some capacity during the war. In total, over 500,000 American Jews served in World War II.
But I can tell you that anyone who is Jewish that served in World War II had a little H on their dog tag for Hebrew, and Protestants had a P, and Catholics had a C. And one of the fears of many Jewish people serving in Europe was that they were going to be taken and they would have an H and then the Nazis would find them.
Jewish soldiers fought bravely in World War II, but out of a total force of more than 12 million Americans, even if they were overrepresented, they were still a small minority. And anti-Semitism was rampant in the military, as it was in broader American society. Cy was lucky that he made it through pilot training without being singled out by a bigoted officer as Jewish. Other Jewish trainees were intentionally washed out before they got their wings. But Cy graduated as a lieutenant and was finally ready to captain his own plane and meet his crew.
There were all black units like the Tuskegee Airmen, but there was no Jewish unit. And so when they figured out that he was Jewish, they kind of sent him what he described a motley crew of leftovers.
5 Catholics, 2 Jews, a Mormon, and a WASP. It sounds like a setup to a bad joke, but that was Cy's crew. Danny Shapiro was the other Jewish guy on the plane, and he and Cy became close friends. Catholics in those days weren't treated much better than Jews, so the leftovers bonded quickly. Frank Sanchez was a radio operator from Arizona. Sam Navarra, the waist gunner, was an Italian-American from Chicago. Dale Tyler was a tail gunner from Utah, from a big Mormon family of 13. The only WASP on board was Frank Stockton, the other tail gunner, who got into some trouble with the law in Chicago.
A judge said to him, you have 2 choices. You can go to jail or you could join the Army.
For Cy, it didn't matter that they all came from different worlds or that the Army considered them second-class soldiers. Cy talked about each member of his crew like they were brothers.
I will tell you that he seemed to time travel. Every time he talked about his crew, he was not just a member of the crew. This was his crew. He was the pilot.
When Kevin Fitzpatrick met with Cy, he asked to see some of Cy's photos from the war.
He pulled out a group photo that you've probably seen. I took a photo of it too, of his crew. He named every single man. He told me his hometown and what position he had on the plane. So these are photos taken, you know, 80 years ago, and he's rattling off the names of all these guys. That was incredible.
Lucky for us, Kevin recorded a snippet of that conversation. Here's Cy.
This is Frank Finley, who was the other waist gunner who didn't fly missions with us. That's Dale Tyler, the tail gunner. That's me, my co-pilot, Bill Hull, Patulski, and Shapiro, the bombardier.
Cy and his men flew their B-17 from Nebraska to Labrador, then on to England, which served as home base for their bombing missions over Germany. They were part of the U.S. 8th Air Force, the Mighty 8th, and members of the 490th Bomb Group. Cy flew over 30 bombing missions over the course of 1944 and 1945, pummeling German cities and destroying Nazi munitions factories. Cy flew all of his missions in broad daylight. His B-17 was one of hundreds of planes flying in huge formations through a sky exploding with German anti-aircraft fire. It was one of the most dangerous and deadly jobs in World War II.
He was with the 8th Air Force, which got, you know, just heavily, heavily involved in the conflict bombing Nazi Germany. And for the B-17, you know, they had a loss rate of like something like 37 to 40%. The crews themselves, only 50% of those guys came home if you're on a B-17. It was one of the most dangerous jobs you could have had in World War II. He was in one of the heaviest military campaigns and definitely the biggest ever air campaign in history.
That air campaign, what Kevin calls the biggest in history, was the bombing of Berlin in 1945. On a frigid February morning, wearing his heavy flak jacket and winter gear, Sy boarded his B-17 for his 33rd mission. It was the mission that he would talk about for the rest of his life. Sy and his crew took off from England and joined an aerial formation of more than 1,400 bombers and 940 fighter planes. Their destination was over 500 miles away, Berlin. Early into the flight, Sy's plane had an engine malfunction, a common problem on the B-17. With three of the four engines, they could still make it to Berlin and back. But things quickly went from bad to worse. On the approach to Berlin, Sy's plane was rocked by anti-aircraft fire. The second engine was blown out by flak.
So what flak is, those are the projectiles that are being fired from very long munitions that are fed into the 88-millimeter cannons that are being fired straight up at the sky. So when those fragment, they're going to create shrapnel, and they're going to go right through those airframes, which are basically like a beer can. And as soon as the flak hits the engines, it's all over for the airplanes.
With just two engines, they'd never get their heavy B-17 all the way back to England. They'd be lucky if they didn't crash in German territory, a death sentence for a Jewish pilot. Sy had to make a split-second decision. His mind flashed to Poland. He'd heard that Russians, America's allies, had taken Warsaw and were swiftly marching toward Germany. If Sy could get the badly damaged B-17 over the border into Poland, that might be their best option. Maybe their only option. Sy ordered his navigator, Ray Potulski, to set a course for Warsaw. Meanwhile, the crew had to ditch anything that wasn't bolted down.
They threw out flak suits, extra ammunition, and anything of weight. He was screaming, "Get rid of it! Get rid of it!"
By some miracle, the crippled plane made it to Warsaw, but the city was completely destroyed. There were no airfields in sight. A small Russian plane spotted the wounded B-17 and guided the Americans over some forested fields. Losing altitude by the second, Sy saw an opening in the trees, and he went in for a white-knuckle, wheels-up belly landing. The B-17 skidded to a stop in a muddy field. The bottom of the plane was nearly destroyed, but no one was hurt. Sy's men, whose lives he cared about more than his own, were safe, for now at least. The problem was they were now at the mercy of the Russians. The Russians were allies, but they were busy planning an invasion, not babysitting Americans. At the Russian base, Sy met another American B-17 pilot who had also crash-landed in the Berlin raid. His name was George Ruckman. Altogether, there were 20 Americans in Soviet custody in Warsaw, but the Russians were in no rush to get them home.
It wasn't like these were the Germans or the Japanese, but they just wanted to get out of there, and nobody was letting them get out. I wouldn't call it a prisoner of war, but they were trapped.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Army had little idea that two bomber crews had crashed behind German lines in Poland. Even worse, Sy's family and the families of the rest of the crew all received telegrams from the Army informing them that their soldier was listed as missing in action. Weeks went by, then a month. After every time Sy asked their Russian handlers when they could leave, he'd get the same answer, "When Moscow says so."
And it got to the point, after weeks and weeks of "when Moscow said so," that they had to do something themselves.
Sy and Ruckman hatched a plan. Both of their B-17s were unflyable. But between the two planes, they had four working engines. Their best hope of getting home was to Frankenstein together the working parts of each plane and make their escape.
Well, you got to think about this. Anybody that does anything in mechanics, you're rebuilding an airplane engine and airplane parts with whatever tools you have around. You're not in a garage, you're not in a hangar. You're basically in a potato field doing this, all under the watchful guns of the Russians. So it's crazier than a movie.
Bribes were exchanged, American watches, whiskey, pistols. Enough Russian soldiers agreed to look the other way that the Americans were able to secretly piece together a functional B-17. Sy would never forget the look on the Russian officers' faces as the Frankenstein B-17 loaded with 20 giddy Americans roared down the runway. Asked if the Russians chased after them, Sy joked, "They were probably relieved that they didn't have to feed us." On St. Patrick's Day, 1945, 6 weeks after crash landing in Poland, the two American crews, piloted by Cy Spiegel and George Ruckman, landed at an American base in Italy. They were greeted as heroes. The first thing Cy did was send a telegram to his anxious family.
And I'll tell you, I wrote down what the telegram said. It said, "Am safe and well, letters following."
Cy didn't go home right away, though. He had unfinished business. After recuperating in Italy, he flew back to England and completed his final missions, because that's what heroes do. In August 1945, Cy finally sailed home on the SS Queen Elizabeth. Over the course of the war, he'd grown from an undersized teenager into a battle-tested man. The post-war period was a time of tremendous opportunity for American GIs and their families. But sadly, Cy was about to find out that those opportunities weren't available to everyone.
The dating app fatigue is real. Mindless swiping, meaningless DMs, and an overwhelming amount of likes have made us feel more disconnected than ever. While most dating apps are all about pursuing someone else, there's one that's carved out a space for you to find yourself. Download Field. F-E-E-L-D.
On Field, an app where curious people come to connect, you have the breathing room to explore your own desires and go on a journey wherein the person you discover is yourself.
In fact, 62% of Field members evolve their sexuality, interests, and desires within their first year on the app.
You have the freedom to explore who you are and what you like in ways you haven't imagined.
As part of this community, you'll quickly find that people regularly practice honesty and openness. See any Field bio.
Download Field.
F-E-E-L-D.
On the App Store or Google Play. PK!
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play. Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
Introducing Signals, the next generation of platforms for investors, designed to elevate your trading strategy by giving access to insights used by Wall Street pros to dominate the market. Signals uses its proprietary data of $70 billion in consumer spend across North America to spot market trends before they make the headlines. We bring you the alternative data that drives decisions at top hedge funds, allowing you to carve your own edge in the stock market. Join the insider circle who are already transforming their investment strategies. Visit joinsignals.com to start your free 14-day trial. No hidden fees, no gimmicks, just pure, actionable insights. End your reliance on outdated information. With Signals, invest like a pro, make informed decisions swiftly, and stay ahead of the curve. Uncover tomorrow's market moves with today's real-time data. Visit joinsignals.com today.
The following ad is sponsored by Pets Best Insurance Services. Your pet is your bestie. Your therapist, your preferred match. It's easy to love them, even when they sneak your snacks. It's easy to protect them, too, with pet insurance coverage from Pets Best. Because it's all fun and games until they chew on something they shouldn't. With perfect timing, Pets Best helps protect your furry friend and your budget from this imperfect world. Get up to 90% on eligible vet bills for less than a dollar a day. Find your perfect match at PetsBest.com. Pet insurance products offered and administered by Pets Best Insurance Services, LLC, or underwritten by American Pet Insurance Company or Independence American Insurance Company. For all terms, visit PetsBest.com/policy.
It's Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb from the Today Show. We love this time of year. There's so much to celebrate.
That's right. Nobody does the holidays quite like today. All season long, join us for special performances with the brightest stars.
Plus, festive recipes to whip up the perfect holiday feast and great deals on the hottest toys and gifts for everyone on your list.
So join us every morning on NBC to make today your home for the holidays.
Lori Gwynn Shapiro interviewed Cy a number of times at his nice apartment overlooking Central Park. There was always more to talk about, and Cy enjoyed the conversations. One day, he brought out a small, dusty box to show Lori. Inside were ribbons and medals from the Army that he'd received for his war service. Lori wondered why they weren't on display.
Yeah, so this is something that I talked to him at length about, the anti-Semitism that he faced despite being a hero, which was quite shocking to me. And he did 36 missions and he had multiple awards, and he wanted me to have the army hear this, that he felt strongly that many Jewish soldiers were denied a promotion in rank because of anti-Semitism at that time.
Historian Kevin Fitzpatrick is a veteran himself, and it's hard for him to hear how Tsai was treated in the 1940s.
Our American military was a reflection of what American society was like at the time. So racial discrimination, religious discrimination, it wasn't similar to what we have in 2024 at all. But I believe what Tsai is saying, he was denied promotion, he was denied advancement. Other men who had, less missions than him and did less than he did were getting to advance. He certainly should have gotten more valor and bravery awards than he was awarded.
Like millions of other GIs, Tsai Spiegel was proud of his service, but also ready to put the war behind him and get on with his life. Remember Frankie Marie Smith, Tsai's young bride in New Mexico? The couple moved to Texas and tried to make it work. Tsai even got a job as a radio announcer at a country western station. His DJ name was Muddy Boots. But try as they might, the spark just wasn't there anymore. Frankie and Tsai split up. But Tsai wasn't disheartened. He heard that airlines were looking for pilots. All of his Army Air Corps buddies were being hired by the commercial airline industry, which was just taking off, so to speak. So Tsai moved back to New York, hoping to finally cash in on his heroic war record. He was in for a rude awakening.
New York City was the center of the aviation world. The big buildings like the Pan Am Tower come later, but the airlines were all based in Midtown Manhattan. There were jobs, and there were lots of jobs for everyone except him.
He's a well-trained pilot, and he can't get a job. And other men that he flew with were getting these nice, cushy commercial airline jobs in the 40s and 50s, and he was denied because he was a Jew.
This was a real low point in Tsai's life. The country that he'd served so bravely and selflessly was turning its back on him. Luckily, Tsai was still good with his hands, so he was able to get jobs as a machinist. He joined a union. In 1949, Tsai attended a politically progressive summer camp in upstate New York called Camp Unity. Think of it like that resort in Dirty Dancing, if it was full of Greenwich Village types, poets, jazz musicians, communists, and at least one disgruntled Jewish bomber pilot. It was at Camp Unity that Tsai met a young Japanese-American woman named Motoko Ikeda. Like Tsai, Motoko was struggling to find her place in post-war America.
When he met Motoko at Camp Unity, she told him that she had a family of six that had been forcibly sent from Los Angeles to an internment camp in Wyoming. This is someone who had been fighting the Germans and the Japanese. So think about how extraordinary this conversation might have been. At 14, she was kept behind barbed wire and watched by armed American guards at sentry posts. And they were ready to shoot her or her family if she escaped. When Motoko left the internment camp, Tsai told me, they gave her not a lot of money. They gave her $25 and a one-way ticket. And you could choose where the ticket was to, and she chose New York. She wanted far away from the West Coast.
Motoko and Tsai bonded instantly. Maybe it was their shared war trauma or their outsider status in their own country. Whatever it was, they fell in love, got married, and started a beautiful family together. The fact that they came from different backgrounds and religions was never an issue. Tsai joked that, quote, Motoko was better at making Jewish food than my mother. She could cook in any language.
Motoko was the love of his life, and he told me that often.
Now that Tsai had a wife and young family to support, he needed to think about his career. Tsai was working as a machinist for $1.80 an hour at a brush factory. These weren't hair brushes. They were industrial brushes, wiry, pointy things for scouring wood or finishing metal. As it happens, there was a fad in the late 1950s for something called spray brushes, tinsel-like metallic brushes that were used as holiday decorations in storefront windows like Macy's and Saks Fifth Avenue. The company Tsai worked for, the American Brush Machinery Company, fabricated and sold machines that made spray brushes for $12,000 a machine, which was good money. But just like that, the spray brush fad died out. What was American Brush supposed to do with those expensive, useless contraptions? One of the higher-ups had the bright idea of repurposing the spray brush machines to make artificial Christmas trees. It wasn't too much of a stretch. After all, a pine tree kind of looks like a bunch of green plastic brushes glued together. So that's exactly what they did. The initial results were less than inspiring.
If you look at the artificial Christmas trees from this era, they're horrifying. they're just really sad.
American Brush was ready to cut its losses. In fact, they sent Cy, now a senior machinist, to shut down the whole Christmas tree operation. But where American Brush saw a dead end, Cy saw an opportunity to change the Christmas tree game.
And he had this idea that he could make them look more realistic. You know, the more realistic they were, the more people would buy them.
Cy brought in real trees, Scotch pines and Douglas firs, to study their branch spacing and pine needle patterns. He spent months tweaking the industrial brush machines to new specifications and finally convinced his bosses to give Christmas trees a second chance. Now it was all up to Cy. If the artificial Christmas trees sold, Cy would be a hero. If they sunk, so would his career. American Brush spun off a new division called American Tree and Wreath, and they made Cy the president. Things got off to a rough start. Cy's new plastic trees looked incredibly realistic, but mid-century America wasn't interested. If people were going to buy a fake tree in the early 1960s, they wanted one of those funky space-age aluminum ones. Cy's division lost tens of thousands of dollars a year as he struggled to find a market for his realistic fake trees. The turning point came on December 6, 1964, with the premiere of a little thing called A Charlie Brown Christmas.
The story gets a little bit nuts, and I think that anyone who's Gen X like me or younger will know the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And if you remember, if you've seen Charlie Brown Christmas, there's this real appeal to come back to the meaning of Christmas. And during this period of time, mid-century, there were futuristic aluminum trees with color wheels were dominating the market. And there's a line in the Charlie Brown special, which is, "Get the most enormous aluminum tree you can find, Charlie Brown, and maybe paint it pink." And that's Lucy Van Pelt. That's what Lucy told Charlie. And he chose a different kind of tree. We chose a scraggly tree. And, you know, Americans tuned in and they took heart. They were like, what is Christmas? You know, why do we have this like futuristic aluminum tree representing what we love? And that's when, if you're following along with me here, the aluminum tree business took a nosedive. So, of course, is now an opportunity for Cy with his scheme that he's been trying to push all along, which is that artificial Christmas trees should look more like Christmas trees.
Whether the end of aluminum trees can truly be credited to Charlie Brown is perhaps debatable, but it's fair to say it accelerated a dying trend. Another factor was the fake roots of polyvinyl chloride, which allowed trees to look like, well, trees instead of large wire brushes. New technology, new trends, kids' cartoons, it all combines to make Cy's Christmas tree division explode. After the Charlie Brown Christmas special, sales from Cy's Christmas tree division shot up. American Tree and Wreath experienced 65% annual growth. Soon, they were producing 800,000 artificial trees a year. Cy and a co-worker decided to start their own company, Hudson Valley Tree. With Cy's hard work and expertise, they built the business into a Christmas tree juggernaut. By the 1980s, Cy was being called, quote, the Henry Ford of artificial Christmas trees.
So this is the person that was not allowed to fly for the American Airlines, a Jewish man from Greenwich Village who was now the artificial Christmas tree king of the United States. scientist said I wasn't Christian, but I knew that didn't look like a Christmas tree. Think of an artificial Christmas tree today. It's pretty, sometimes you have to double check to see if it's real or if it's not real. That's all Sai's doing. That was his vision that he had, that we can make these trees better.
Sai devoted his life to his Christmas tree business, and in 1992, he was finally ready to retire. Sai sold Hudson Valley Tree and walked away a multimillionaire. It's the American Dream, Christmas edition. Sai and Motoko were married for 50 wonderful years. Motoko passed away on Valentine's Day 2000. Suddenly alone in his big house that Christmas trees built, Sai started thinking more about his time as a bomber pilot in World War II. He began attending reunions of the 490th Bomb Group Historical Association and found great comfort and camaraderie among his fellow veterans. By this point, Sai's Jewishness no longer made him an outsider. He was embraced as an equal.
And so for decades, he went to the reunions. And so he knew all these men from the 8th Air Force for years and years, and their spouses and then their children. But then slowly they all started, you know, passing away. And so he's like the last of the last.
For him, he was very happy that he was able to provide for his family. That was certainly not something that he took lightly. But he said that it was unequivocal in his mind that the most important part of his life was serving the American people, fighting fascism, fighting Hitler. And I think also the fact that he was the last one standing and that he was the person that had to tell the story.
When Lori Shapiro Budinsky'd her way into Sai's conversation that day in Central Park, she didn't know she was about to meet one of the last living World War II bomber pilots or the artificial Christmas tree king of America. And she certainly didn't expect to be making a friend.
I think what is... listeners will probably know is that Sai is no longer with us. I mean, that's part of the story too, that, you know, he passed away. I will say that I was able to see him about a week or two before he passed away. He was very thin. He was not going to the gym. He had some health issues that he didn't have before. And he was still clear of mind. And he just said, thank you. And I said, thank you. And it was a genuine friendship. And I think that that's something that is also what I hope listeners can take away with, is that don't look at older people as invisible. Look at them, even if they weren't in World War II, as long as they're living and they're of a certain age, they are history. Sit down and talk to people.
2024 will be the first time in almost 20 years that Christmas and the first night of Hanukkah fall on the same day. It feels like an appropriate time to salute the Jewish bomber pilot who changed the way people celebrate Christmas. This one's for you, Sai.
The dating app fatigue is real. Mindless swiping, meaningless DMs, and an overwhelming amount of likes have made us feel more disconnected than ever. While most dating apps are all about pursuing someone else, there's one that's carved out a space for you to find yourself. Download Field. F-E-E-L-D.
On Field, an app where curious people come to connect, you have the breathing room to explore your own desires and go on a journey wherein the person you discover is yourself.
In fact, 62% of Field members evolve their sexuality, interests, and desires within their first year on the app.
You have the freedom to explore who you are and what you like in ways you haven't imagined.
As part of this community, you'll quickly find that people regularly practice honesty and openness. See any Field bio.
Download Field.
F-E-E-L-D.
On the App Store or Google Play. PK!
Introducing Signals, the next generation of platforms for investors. Designed to elevate your trading strategy by giving access to insights used by Wall Street pros to dominate the market. Signals uses its proprietary data of $70 billion in consumer spend across North America to spot market trends before they make the headlines. We bring you the alternative data that drives decisions at top hedge funds, allowing you to carve your own edge in the stock market. Join the insider circle who are already transforming their investment strategies. Visit joinsignals.com to start your free 14-day trial. No hidden fees, no gimmicks, just pure, actionable insights. End your reliance on outdated information. With Signals, invest like a pro, make informed decisions swiftly, and stay ahead of the curve. Uncover tomorrow's market moves with today's real-time data. Visit joinsignals.com today.
The following ad is sponsored by Pets Best Insurance Services. Your pet is your bestie. Your therapist, your preferred match. It's easy to love them, even when they sneak your snacks. It's easy to protect them, too, with pet insurance coverage from Pets Best. Because it's all fun and games until they chew on something they shouldn't. With perfect timing, Pets Best helps protect your furry friend and your budget from this imperfect world. Get up to 90% on eligible vet bills for less than a dollar a day. Find your perfect match at PetsBest.com. Pet insurance products offered and administered by Pets Best Insurance Services, LLC, or underwritten by American Pet Insurance Company or Independence American Insurance Company. For all terms, visit PetsBest.com/policy.
It's Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb from the Today Show. We love this time of year. There's so much to celebrate.
That's right. Nobody does the holidays quite like today. All season long, join us for special performances with the brightest stars.
Plus, festive recipes to whip up the perfect holiday feast and great deals on the hottest toys and gifts for everyone on your list.
So join us every morning on NBC to make today your home for the holidays.
Legends, the greatest social casino and sportsbook experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Very Special Episodes is made by some very special people. This show is hosted by Dana Schwartz, Darren Burnett, and Jason English. Today's episode was written by Dave Roos. Our producer is Josh Fisher. Editing and sound design by Jonathan Washington and Josh Fisher. Mixing and mastering by Behib Fraser. Original music by Elise McCoy. Research and fact-checking by Dave Roos and Austin Thompson. Show logo by Lucy Quintanilla. Our executive producer is Jason English. If you're looking to do something nice for us this holiday season, why don't you head over to Apple or Spotify, give us a nice rating, click those stars. You can always reach us at veryspecialepisodes@gmail.com. We've got two more episodes coming this month, including a special Monday episode to get ahead of the Christmas on Wednesday. We'll see you back here on Monday. Very Special Episodes is a production of iHeart Podcasts.
The dating app fatigue is real. Mindless swiping, meaningless DMs, and an overwhelming amount of likes have made us feel more disconnected than ever. While most dating apps are all about pursuing someone else, there's one that's carved out a space for you to find yourself. Download Field. F-E-E-L-D.
On Field, an app where curious people come to connect, you have the breathing room to explore your own desires and go on a journey wherein the person you discover is yourself.
In fact, 62% of Field members evolve their sexuality, interests, and desires within their first year on the app.
You have the freedom to explore who you are and what you like in ways you haven't imagined.
As part of this community, you'll quickly find that people regularly practice honesty and openness. See any Field bio.
Download Field.
F-E-E-L-D.
On the App Store or Google Play. PK!
Hate has been winning for too long. It's at an all-time high. And too many people are facing too much hate all over this country. To turn the tide, we have to stand together. As a united team, we can change the momentum. It's time to take a timeout against hate. Visit standuptoallhate.org to help. Join us in calling for a hashtag #timeoutagainsthate by following at @whatsupwithhate or posting the blue square emoji.
Legends, the greatest social casino and sportsbook experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This holiday season, surprise everyone on your list with the best gifts. Tickets to see their favorite artists live. Choose from thousands of concerts and comedy shows, including Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Matt Matthews, Metallica, Thomas Rhett, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Sarah Silverman, and so many more. Share a memory together or give a gift they'll never forget. Find the most exciting gift for every fan at livenation.com/gifts. That's livenation.com/gifts.
Hey there, it's Scott Patterson from I Am All In Again podcast. Life's short, talk fast. Stream Gilmore Girls on Hulu. That's right. Grab your coffee and get cozy because all 7 seasons of Gilmore Girls are now on Hulu. Stream all the witty banter, heartwarming moments, and awkward Friday night dinners with Lorelai, Rory, and the eclectic mix of characters. Whether you're rewatching or going Gilmore for the first time, Hulu has you covered. It's a show, it's a lifestyle, it's now streaming on Hulu.